Best-selling author and motivational speaker Ron Stell says, "Sometimes in life we find a calling we are compelled to answer." He began his highly successful writing career late in life through gentle persuasion by his wife. And then it began, his writing career. He wrote 6 novels from coming-of-age comedy to supernatural thrillers. While Ron continues to write, he lectures to motivate and assist others to follow their dreams. This and more, next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat. With us, we have best-selling author Ron Stell. His latest work, Extreme Option, is a fast-paced detective murder mystery. One of his books is in treatment for a screenplay, and his latest book is going to be featured on the Reuters marquee in Times Square, New York, in March. His first novel is about growing up in the 60s, and his life is pretty much never the same after that. Ron writes with a passion driven by a desire to share his stories, and is very, very good at bringing the reader into the world he creates. He also spent several decades in the Navy, and he faced death multiple times. It was events like that which taught him that life is worth pursuing and that he has value. While Ron continues to write, he also lectures to help people obtain their dream, which is probably a good focal point of what this show is also going to be all about. Ron's point is to not let life get in the way of your destiny. Stay focused and never give up on your dream. His website is ronstelle.com. His last name is S-T-E-L-L-E. Okay. All right. Well, Ron's going to share his motivations with us on our pursuing our dreams. Let's bring him on. Hello, Ron. How are you?
Hi, Tony. I'm fine. Thank you very much for letting me be on your show. It's great to be here.
Pleasure. I'm grateful to have you. To me, it's always an honor to have a guest. And I love your story. I love what you've done with your life. And I'm excited to hear more, as I hope so is my audience. Now, I mentioned a little bit about you, very little, in this introduction. And perhaps, Ron, you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots. Tell us how you became an expert in your field. So please let us know, how did it all start for you?
Well, I grew up on the south side of Houston in pretty much the 60s. My first book, The Streets of Our Youth, opens on November 22nd, 1963, which some of us will remember was when Kennedy was assassinated. So that was my third grade class, 9 years old, and here we go. I had a great upbringing in that we had a street of 15 children that were within 3 years of each other's age from basically third grade for me until I graduated from high school. So lifelong friendships were made and many, many stories were formed. I came into the 70s after graduating as a rock musician. I was a 70s kind of guy for a while, and then my life took a turn, and I decided to join the Navy at a later age of 24 years old because I wanted to serve my country. That, I guess, was the starting point of having different values than I had good values, but these were more intrinsic towards the good in man. I wanted to become a better person, so the first thing I was going to do was serve 4 years in the Navy. After 4 years of traveling and seeing the world, I decided I really liked it, so I went ahead and did 19 more. I actually retired June of 2001, 3 months before 9/11, and I sort of wish I hadn't. I would have loved to have been able to go out there and fight for America, but once you're out. So I've actually been retired for 15 years, and I went on into some other things. I basically just hem and hawed around a little bit. I've always been involved in the automobile business throughout my life periodically. I went into service advising and service managing for car dealerships. And then, I guess in about 2009, I started doing motivational posts on Facebook. I just felt compelled to give folks something to hold on to in case they were facing the abyss or they were sad or they just felt downtrodden for whatever reason. So every day I'll write something I call a short pause. And it's pretty much a 3 or 4 sentence statement designed to help somebody out there. It's typically I hope that someone will read the words and find comfort in them or the ability to turn it around. And my wife one day was sitting at one end of the couch and I'm at the other, dogs in between, and she looks over at me and she goes, "You need to write a book." I looked at her and said, "Excuse me?" She goes, "You need to write a book." And I go, "Okay," because she's kind of in charge. So I said, "Why?" She says, "Because these posts that you write are beautiful and you have a gift for writing, and I think you don't even know it." So at that point, I said, "Okay." And I thought about, what can I write that I know about? What is a subject matter that I'm an expert on? And I said, "Well, how about growing up?" So I decided to write a book about growing up in the 60s. And part of that is I wanted to leave a legacy for my children and grandchildren that know that we didn't always need our thumbs to entertain ourselves. I wanted to show folks what it was like to grow up using your imagination and using, you know, outside, using fun, being with people, having to interact all the time on a one-on-one basis. So I wrote a funny book, The Streets of Our Youth, and I found that I could write and write and write. I wrote the whole thing, 300 pages, in like 7 weeks. Now, an editor would have had a heart attack looking at this because, oh yeah, I didn't have any formal training. But it was wonderful. I wrote it from the viewpoint of a starting out of a 9-year-old child, you know, up into a 12-year-old child. And it's written that way. And, it's, you know, the grammar Nazis would have a heart attack with this. But I published it as was with basic formatting and editing, and it was very well received. I got 25 or 30 five-star reviews. People seemed to love it. So that's how I got into writing. And once that faucet was turned on, I couldn't turn it off. It has not stopped since that point. And the reason I have gone from writing coming of age, there is a sequel to that, excuse me, called The Avenues of Adolescence for a little bit older, which I think is just as funny as the other one. And it's to help the folks from my generation look back and think, yeah, that's how it was, and have fond memories, and the younger folk to go, wow, it's not so bad to go outside after all. I started reading voraciously in the Navy in probably 1978. And my first foray into that was Stephen King and Dean Koontz. I'd always been a horror buff growing up with the movies and such, and I read comic books from 1960 on. I read comic books like they were going out of style. And if I can digress a little bit, I had polio as a child in the 50s. So I was a little bit sickly and I had crossed eyes. So I had a bit of the bullying scenario for a while until I got a little older, and I jumped into the comic books because they gave me a hero that I could be in my mind. So that all stayed with me, and I found out that I really enjoy writing about the things that I love. So as I said, after reading about 2,000 books in the Navy, I found that I wanted to try those different genres. Besides Stephen King and Dean Koontz, I read James Patterson and John Sanford. I really like his detective history. So I went ahead and wrote The Globe, which is a supernatural thriller set in Pompeii. I had been to Pompeii 4 times, so I was familiar with it. And the story was, very well received. The thing is, I guess I can't keep comedy out of my books. I like what you call a comedic thriller, and it's unusual in that I might be scaring you on one page, but then I'm going to let you take a breath, sit back, and get a chuckle. There's going to be something funny in my book, something that I can't help writing. It's just part of who I am. It is the way it comes out of me. So I've had people reading my supernatural thrilling saying, "I laughed so hard, I got told to be quiet on a plane." That actually happened with one of my fans. They told them they had to calm down. So I do that in all of my books, whether it be something that's lighthearted or whether it's a serious murder mystery. There's going to be some laughs. So I wrote The Globe about a year after. It took about 3 months, and then I wrote a sequel to The Streets of Our Youth. And then I wrote some short stories. I found out that I really enjoy writing short stories because I like reading them at times. Sometimes you don't want to get bogged down in a novel. You want to sit back and have something that you can stop at the end of a story and start with a new one. So I wrote a book of short stories. Most of them were supernatural thrillers. Again, that's what I read the most when I was reading in the Navy, and that's what was inside of me. So after writing that, I was contacted by a young lady named Tracy down in Oklahoma, who said, would I be willing to help in an anthology of short stories for tornado victims? And of course I said, absolutely. So I contributed one of my short stories to a book, Winds of Change, and this was all the proceeds for the tornado victims down in Oklahoma and in Illinois. And then they did a sequel for that, and I donated a story for that as well. And I just donated a story for animals. I'm an animal lover and advocate, and I just wrote a story about dogs at Christmas time from their point of view and donated it to a book to help the SPA or any of those shelters that dogs go to. So I'll take a pause now and see what you had to say.
Well, that's amazing and inspiring, Ron. Thank you. So many points to comment on. I don't know where to begin. But one thing caught my attention. You were in the swing daily routine of doing motivational posts, but you went into doing thrillers, short stories, and so forth. Have you written a motivational book, or is there a plan for that?
My publicist is definitely having me to do, he wants me to do that. And I guess we're waiting for the right time. We're in the middle of a lot of different things going on. As you know, the treatment for the movies, or the Times Square marquee. We have some celebrities reading my book for endorsement. So I'm going to do it because it's inside of me. I just wanted it to be the right time. I don't really write anything forced. I do talk to folks and have and motivate them as far as life goes. But, you know, my experiences are very personal, and I'm going to give them to the world at some point, but I want it to be the right time. So, no, I haven't yet, but yes, I'm going to. It's a definite coming down the line. I didn't really do a lot of nonfiction reading or pump you up books when I was growing up. I found out that for me it was an experience with my higher power, if you will. I'm a Christian. I'll say it. I'm proud of it. So that was a turning point in my life, and I've turned to that a lot. But I also found a way to help folks who didn't have that particular viewpoint, and it's like a 10-step program that I talk to people about that I think works. It worked for me, and I think in general it'll work for anybody, but pretty much you hear the same thing from folks, because you know why? Because it works. Because it works. There's a steps that people can take to have success in their lives, but they have to be willing to stay with it and to never let loose of the goal.
Very cool. And I want to ask you some questions about that in just a few moments. I want to first cover some information about your book. You have a book going up on the marquee in Times Square. Which book is that, please?
That's going to be the Extreme Options. From what I understand, it'll be a picture of myself and the book. It's that Reuters one that's like 17 stories high that goes through different ones. I posted it on Facebook. I'm really blown away about it, to be honest with you. I was humbled to have that. The Extreme Options is the latest book of the series that I'm doing of detectives Bryce Mallory and Seamus Crowley. They're American-Irish, and they're very good at what they do, and there's a lot of humor in there. I always have them go into their Irish brogue and speak funny at each other in the way you would hear, like in Darby O'Gill and that type of movie. So there's always funny goings on between them, even though they're doing something very serious. The characters were very well received, very well liked. The folks that love that type of book say that it's James Patterson and more, and I don't compare myself to anybody because everybody's individual and they do their own thing, but folks tend to do that. It's a very good book to become a movie. That's why the treatment was made for that particular one. The one before it, I think, is just as good for a movie, but this one was the one that got the attention. They go after a serial killer, a clinical psychologist in the Washington area. This guy thinks that because a clinical psychologist got a man off on parole by saying he was cured to some extent and he just needed to keep doing his recovery, well, 7 weeks later, he killed his brother. So the way his twisted mind is going about this is he's going to go eliminate the psychologist, allow him to get off so that none of them get out of jail. That's his reasoning. And insanity has no, you know, proof. They just go with what they believe. And there's some very, very traumatic moments through there. I will tell folks out there, and if you're a graphic type of person, you're not going to enjoy it. I do not get graphic in my books. I do not put slayings of graphic at all. I leave it up to your imagination, like, you know, Alfred Hitchcock. I do not have graphic sex in my books. I think that you can, folks can write a decent novel without having to get down and dirty. So I don't, and I never will, but that's just me.
Cool. Now, I understand this is a comedic thriller in the Bryce Mallory series. And, well, you know, I like to laugh, but why would I want to buy your book? Is there any kind of message or motivation or what else is in there, please?
Well, it's not the motivation, I guess, comes from the folks that really like my work already. They want to read more by me. I have a following, and these folks know that the books are going to make them laugh and also going to be very intense. So I think it stands out. And if you like the Lethal Weapon movies back in the 80s with Murtaugh, this is how this comedy duo, it's not a comedy duo, but they react with each other and in certain scenarios the same way, where you're laughing in a movie that's really got a serious plot, but because of the conversations between them and the things that they do, they are constantly getting laughs from folks. They have a party for a bachelor party, and the theme for the bachelor party is hilarious. And in the next one, they're with the killer inside of a log cabin. It just goes back and forth. So I would say you would want to read my books because you're going to be able to get a thrill. You are going to laugh out loud, but you're not going to be repulsed. So that would be what I would say for my fiction book, yeah.
Very cool, Ron. I like that. All right. Now, you've written a diverse selection of books representing many different genres. Is there any style in particular that you prefer the most?
You know, I really like the supernatural thrillers because my imagination, like I said, coming from my comic book reading and some of the movies that I've always enjoyed, I tend to enjoy doing that. I'm also going to do a children's book at some point because, well, my wife told me I need to do that, and she was right the first time. So at this point, I love doing the Bryce Mallory books, but I really enjoy probably the most the supernatural thrillers because it allows me to be in charge of the book. When you're writing a novel, you have to be careful what you say and do. If you're writing a nonfiction book, you've got a page open all the time to facts and figures because you have to be right or you can be sued. When you're writing a fiction book like I write, you're in charge of the world you're writing. As long as you don't infringe upon somebody else's piece of pie, then anything goes. So I'm allowed to let my imagination go rampant, as it were, and put down whatever I want and make it a fact. Like in The Globe, you know, it's a 2,000-year-old entity comes to pass again every 2,000 years, and three mortals are picked to go and do battle with him through an ancient globe that's been passed down through history that they find at a pawn shop. Well, I can create anything I want from that. None of it's real, but it's fascinating reading, and people tend to really like it. So, yeah, I'd say the books that allow me the most freedom with my imagination as far as that goes would be my favorite.
Those are all great points, Ron. I totally agree on that. I have written several nonfiction, but I did write one fiction, which was a collaborative effort, spanned 10 years. It's called The Good, Bad, and Gold. The first book in the series is called The Pursuit, which has done very well. It's almost 500 pages, and that's after taking it out about 300. But that took about 10 years to write, and I understand what totally your point of view of the, you just have a total free will to just create, and sometimes, what's this character going to do? Let's just start writing about him and see where he goes. So I can totally get into that. Very cool. And I'm very intrigued by your diverseness in looking at doing a children's book. I think that's also very cool. Very nice. Very creative. Now, you have some other interests besides writing. Is that so?
Well, again, I'm still a musician. I play drums and guitar, and I was probably in about 15 bands. The last one was about 15 years ago, actually. As I got out of the Navy, I would always form bands in the Navy so that we would have entertainment, and we would go to nightclubs overseas and play for the folks there. So I still enjoy music dramatically, and I still enjoy to play now and again, although I do not play in bands anymore. My artistic side has gone to writing. I do like taking photographs. You'll see me just walk outside and take a picture, and then I'll sit down and maybe sometimes I'll embellish it or make it look like a painting. I love art. When I was in college, I took art appreciation. It was my favorite class. So I'm a lover of art. I love music. I love to play the drums. I love to play the guitar. I love to write. And I like doing the interviews, actually. I found out that this is a kind of comfortable point for me. I have no problem talking to folks in front of folks. And this may help me if I go further on in this career as to television and such. That would probably do well. But I like helping folks. Probably the reason I did the short post is people need help. I see people all the time that are just, their heads are down, and they don't need to be. I mean, the world may be chaotic and upside down right now, but you can find your spot in there and shine a light, and that light can reach out to other folks, and then they can have a light and pass it on. So we like to volunteer when we can to any type of organization that's going to help the homeless or such, and we take clothes down to tornado victims. And one of the things that Sandy and I are going to do once this career is taken off, as it were, I mean, I'm happy. If nothing ever happened, I'm happy I wrote books. I mean, I'm comfortable in my life now, so that's not an issue. But if we are blessed with an excess of money, then we're going to open a shelter for battered women, and we're going to open a store for tornado and flood victims. We see a lot of that here in Illinois, where people need necessities right away, toiletries and clothes. So we're going to have that available for free for folks. And that's two of the things we want to do if we're blessed with the kind of success that brings that kind of money. So, yeah, I'm one of these people at 61 years old that still feels like he's 22. I'm energetic. I feel young. I feel like I got a lot of things I need to do, and I'm going to do them. So that would be my most interest. I stay busy. I don't think there's any time that I'm not busy. If I'm not writing, I'm doing something. I just, you know, you don't sit or you become stagnant. You know, rolling stone doesn't gather moss.
I totally love your point of view, and I love your future goals and your dream. And I know that if you stay on that, you will accomplish your dream. I totally know that that's going to happen. So that's very cool. Very honorable as well, Ron. All right. Now we have some people out here that would always love to write and think that maybe it's very tough. And when they hear stories of, you know, writing books that take a long time, it may be discouraging, but that just depends on the type of book. What advice would you like to give to potential writers out there, Ron?
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'll go over my 10 steps to success, basically, because that's the same exact thing with writing a book. First of all, do it. As far as specifically, my first step is visualize the goal. You want to write a book, then take the first step, write a book. So that's what I did. And then I found out I really enjoyed it. And I have to say this. I think at least for fiction, it's a gift. I think it's a gift just like anything else that someone can do exceptional. They have a knack for it, or they're able to do this. Now, the gift may not be very editable at the first, but you'll know, you'll feel it. I don't know how else to describe it. It is easy for me to write a book. I find no effort in it whatsoever other than the editing stage, which I hate, but you have to go through it. And then if you feel like you've got that ability, then go ahead and just write a book. Don't let anybody say nothing. If you don't feel like you're going to be well-received with your friends and such, don't tell them. It's your goal. Sit down, write the book. Don't care about editing. Don't care about formatting. Don't care about grammar or syntax or any of those things. Get the message out, whatever it is you have. Get it out. Write the book. Don't stop. Once you're finished, reread it out loud. Reading it out loud shows you every mistake right away. It is the fastest way to correct things, and they put it in, depending on your education and how you were with English, you'll have a book. And then find someone that you like that has either been involved in editing or that has read a lot of books and is comfortable with the way a book should be presented, and let them give you graceful editing, you know, or graceful feedback to tell you what may help you to put this in better format. So you take the first step, you write the book. If you can't get it out and you have writer's block 6 or 7 times a day, this may not be for you. Now, a nonfiction book, that's different. You can do studies. You can put down facts and figures. You can put down your interpretation of facts and figures. And I think that's a different ball game altogether. But as far as fiction, it's in your head, and you can create it. If your goal is simply to get it published, then take the steps to do that. You can do that on CreateSpace on Amazon. You can actually publish your own book, and they'll put it out there just like it is. But I would advise before you actually push the go button that you have someone in the field that's somewhat professional give you an honest look as far as grammar and syntax goes, because people expect it to at least have commas. Surround yourself with like-minded folks. Talk to people who enjoy the subject matter that you like. Let's say you want to become a singer. Surround yourself with singers. Surround yourself with people that have the same likes and aspirations, because there's nothing like having feedback from people that are in the same way that you are. I found that to be very helpful for me. I put myself in alignment with a lot of different folks that write or play music and such. Follow your gut instinct. And what I mean by that is I've had professionals come back and want me to change parts of my book, and it doesn't feel right to me. I say, they're not getting it. I don't change it. Because I think your gut instinct in life, as well as anything else, is probably right. It's something that was put inside of you. It's an alarm system, or it's something that's telling you what the right thing to do is, although a lot of people, you know, shove it to the side and wish they hadn't later. So follow your gut instinct as far as that goes. Be patient. Being patient is everything. Nothing happens overnight. It took me 6 books before I got picked up by a professional publisher and a publicist. If I'd have given up after the first or second because I didn't hit mainstream, I thought after I wrote that first book, 6 months later, I'd be living in Hollywood. Dream on. You know, you have to be patient with your goals, but know that you're going to get there. You just don't expect it overnight. Don't be upset. Don't let yourself get knocked back. If you get knocked back a step, take 2 steps forward. It's all about your attitude. Everything is about your attitude. If you have the positive attitude and you're going for it and you know your work is good, and if you know that what you're going for can be accomplished, then nothing's going to stop you. Be prepared to fail and be okay with that. You know, like I told you earlier, if this all this comes to nothing, if the movie deal doesn't get made and the marquee happens, and if none of this comes to fruition, I'm okay with that because I love my life like it is. So if you already love your life like it is and you have a failure, it's okay. You're not destroyed. You just get up and find something else and go for it. Always have a goal. Learn from your mistakes. If you make a mistake, I learned a lot of things from my first books, what not to do. And I found out that's correct. Don't do that. Don't let your mistakes, you know, hinder you, but learn from them. In other words, I don't need to do that again because I know what the outcome's going to be. And like I said before, all of these various steps are something that people probably already know. It's just you have to have the discipline to obey them, as they were. Stay humble and be grateful. If you find yourself getting recognized, if you find yourself being elevated to a celebrity status or to wherever your goal takes you, be grateful that you got there because you had a gift, and give back to the people that helped you, and then give back to the world in general. I think the people that are the happiest in this life are the ones that give back when they succeed, or give back even with whatever you have. I think what makes the best person in life is the one that helps others. And the last one is enjoy the ride. Go for it. Have fun. Have fun with what you're doing. Never, ever, ever let anything bring you down. You're going to have periods of your life that are going to be sad. You're going to have deaths in your life. You're going to have different things. But it's the yin-yang of life. You know, we wouldn't appreciate the good if we didn't have the bad now and again. But it's how your attitude is that determines how you go from there. So I say take the 10 steps, or take the first step, visualize the goal, surround yourself with like-minded folks, follow your gut instinct, be patient, get knocked back a step, take 2 steps forward. Be prepared to fail and be okay with that. Learn from your mistakes, stay humble and grateful, and enjoy the ride. Simple. It's a very simple process, and it's working for me at this point, but I'm always goal-oriented, so this will be something that I'll be doing the rest of my life.
Wow, what great points. Awesome, Ron. Everyone, these are really valuable bits of information and insight offered by Ron Stell. Listen to the show again. Write those points down. Those are good. I like them. And you know, this was brought up on an earlier show, and I don't remember who said it, but one only fails when you stop. Until then, you haven't failed. the stopping is the failure. Otherwise, you just keep on going. But great point. Great point. Love them.
Thank you.
Is that, you're welcome. Is that, or are those the points that you utilize when you, because I hear you lecture. Is that what the lecture is all about, or is there anything else on motivation?
I'll point at people and go, what is your goal? What is your goal? And let them express it. And how are you going to get there? And if they give me what I call in my Irish brogue, the dullard's gaze, well, then they haven't thought it out. So, again, you got to visualize where you're going with the people. And I tell them, you know, what is everybody who has one brave enough, raise your hand and I'll tell you, you know, we'll talk about it. And it's like I said, the points cover whatever the goal is. And there's going to be some vagueness because each individual is different with a different mindset and a set of skills and values and such, but it's pretty basic. Yeah, I tell them, visualize that goal. What is the end result? Study on how you're going to get there and then take the first step. The first step is everything. You know, one day I'm going to write a book. One day I'm going to record a song. One day I'm going to quit this job and go for my and become an Olympic swimmer. Silly maybe, but you understand what I'm coming to. You find out what it is and take the first step. You may have to prepare to take that first step because we're all what? We're all people that are, you know, need to pay bills. So find something that maybe if you cannot get away from the job that you're in that you can do at the same time. Make your goals attainable. You know, I don't know if you could say at 61, I'm going to be president of the United States. That, to me, that's not really an obtainable goal, although anything's possible in America. So make it something that you can do. The like-minded folks, if you're around the folks that always go, yeah, but he'll never get past this. There's too many people competing against you, the blah, 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 blah. I say, you don't need that in your life. I mean, you don't have to cut people off, but you don't have to really get deeply involved with them, with your goal. Find folks that are doing the goal. Find there's tons of stuff out there now. Oh, my gosh, when I was growing up, if I wanted to write a report, I had to go to a what? A library. I had to walk to a library and look up a card catalog and find a book and hope that it had the answers to what I needed. Otherwise, I might have to what? Find another book. So folks nowadays have this miracle thing right in front of them that I'm looking at right now called Wikipedia that you can go find out just about everything you need to know. It is, for people who didn't grow up in my generation, you are lucky. We didn't have that. But find like-minded folks. There's blogs everywhere of people who are sharing your goal, the authors. I would say I probably have 2,000 friends that are authors trying to break through, as it were. And they all band together, and they have shows, they have blogs, they have giveaways, they post each other's information to help each other. So there's a lot of help out there. Find like-minded folks to keep you uplifted. The gut instinct, again, if you're about to do something, you feel you have that feeling in your stomach that this may not be the way to go, there's a real good reason for that. That's real important. Don't go against your gut instinct. I'm not saying don't be afraid to step out there and do your thing. Just while you're doing it, if something feels wrong, something feels cheating, if something feels like it's going to cost you later, it probably is, don't do it. You can find a way around that. That's important. So, yeah, you can't be too worried about what's going to happen, but you also at the same time can't step into something you know is going to leave something on your shoe. So follow your instinct. And the patient part, again, like I said, I tell people you need to be patient because everybody wants everything now. It's the now, now, now generation. There's a commercial now where a guy snaps his finger and he has a fish, snaps his finger, his food's in front of him. That mental attitude will drive you insane while you're trying to reach a goal that's going to take some time to get to. So slow down. Slow down. Take your time, follow your gut, never stop, keep going forward, have people help you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. The best thing I ever did was my publicist, Stephen O'Connor. He has helped me dramatically. He's a very positive individual that is making things happen that I couldn't myself. If I'd have waited for myself, this probably wouldn't have happened. So you do take some steps out there, but I didn't have anything in my gut against this. What I had was some excitement. And there's another thing, excitement will propel you. And again, I've put out 6 books. One of them is not the best of the other ones. It's still got a lot of good reviews, but only a couple. So I'm thinking, no, that wasn't as good. Is it a failure? Maybe not. But is it as good? No, probably not. And that's okay. you know, you're going to stumble along the way, but you just keep going forward and you keep getting better and you never, ever give up. So, and I also tell folks that, like I said before, the learning from the mistakes, these are mistakes are nothing more than guides to help you get better. So it boils down to attitude. When I'm talking to people, I need to say, what do you need to feel? You need to feel excitement. How are you going to feel excitement? By stepping up and doing something. And whatever it is going to be, you know, go home tonight, find something that excites you, or if you have a goal in mind, start it. Do something towards it. Allow set time each day to start going towards that. Do something every single day that helps you get towards your goal, and you'll find avenues opening like you didn't before. You know, it's like Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
So true. Very refreshing. Love those points and love your line of thinking. And that is the road to success, Ron. You've got it right there. It's awesome. Now, sometimes, and it's the gut, you know, I think you've accentuated on very nicely. It's, you know, there are blocks that, and barriers that come in the road. There are detours. There are, unfortunately, friends or family or whatnot that say, forget about it. One needs to learn to focus and stay true to that goal. Do you have any words of wisdom to keep one on that path to their dream?
Yes. Someone in your family or someone that you're friends with gives you the negative vibe, as it were, what I call the negative vibe. Like you tell them and they go, oh, that's nice. Oh, look, my book's going to be in USA Today. Oh, that's nice. Some folks are jealous. Let's just be honest. We're all about honesty here. And some folks are jealous or they have what I call the negative personality, where they just about everything can have a downside. And that's the kind of person I want to help with a short pause to say, hey, you don't need to feel this way. You too can turn around and find something that can shine light. So I tell folks, if you have those that are coming at you with the negativity, nod your head, smile, thank them for their words, and forget about them as quick as they said them, because they're not going to help you. The only thing that's going to help you is staying positive and going for what you know is the right thing to do. I have never met anyone that I've helped before in the past tell me that they didn't succeed to some part of their dream, at least to a point, by staying positive, by keeping at it every single day, by making a realistic goal, and just being okay, like I said, to fail and get back up, to follow your gut, learn from your mistakes, stay humble. I do believe that anybody on this earth can find a goal, whether it be grandeur or whether it be being able to build a house or learn how to work on a car. There's no goal that's too small. Your goal is fantastic. Whatever it is, start doing it. Don't worry about the negativity. The life, you wouldn't have positivity without negativity. There is a opposite end to every spectrum, and you just got to stay on the upside. Don't get angry. Nod your head, because what you know, you're going to do this. You know this. You know it, or at least a portion of it is going to be successful. And if at all possible, and you are blessed and you're going to go all the way, that's fine too. But make your goals realistic and attainable, and do not let anybody stand in the way. I have had folks, you know, nod at me and family members, not even acknowledge certain events and such. And that's okay, because that's on them. What I'm trying to do is on me. So I have to stay positive to myself, honest to myself. And I do that by what? Staying around people that are positive, going for it no matter what, being prepared to fail and step up and do it again, and being able to, if I get knocked back a step, make sure I go the extra effort next time. It's all about your attitude. If you're used to being told no, if you're somebody that was raised, now, I didn't have the best of upbringings as far as being told I was a great person growing up. I had some negativity in that realm, and that'll be in that book I'm going to write about, you know, my motivational book. You can overcome anything. It may take some love from others, and it may take a few looking in the mirror, and it may take you down on your knees in prayer, but whatever it takes, you'll break through that what I call a mental box. And once you get out of that, it's all the way. There's nothing that can stop you. And this sounds almost cliche and corny. You hear that from Tony Robbins, from everybody that talks positive, who lectures to people. Everybody says this, but it's because why? Because it's true. You have to have basically a word I love called an epiphany. You have to have a new knowledge that you're okay, that that you are actually a good person, that what you do matters, and that you're going to do this, and it's going to be great. And from that point, everything you take on in life will be taken in the same way. You'll take all the things that you do in a positive outlook, and it changes people. And it's hard to change somebody. When somebody becomes the person they are, it takes a great deal of hard work at first to change into a positive person. But once you get there, that you're there. So depending on your mental attitude and how you were raised and how you deal with other people's you know, positive remarks or negative remarks, don't let it bother you, because you know where you're going. That's what matters. You have people that love you. You have people that are supporting you, and you need to concentrate on them.
Wow, great points again. Just love it. Just, yes, got to have that epiphany. And I think one of the key things is hanging out around with like-minded people. That is the testament there to success, because it's like a mastermind group. That's why a mastermind group is successful. You're there with people that all have that similar point of view of succeeding, making their goals a reality. And that's part of it. Very good. If family is family, friends are friends, what are you going to do? You can't change them. They're part of your life, but you don't have to include them in goals and in decisions and what you want to accomplish, because some of them, yeah, maybe you hit the nail on the head, Ron. Maybe it's just jealousy, but there's no sense trying to appease them. If that's just their attitude, fine. Hang out with people that care, that are going to appreciate what you want, that are going to give you good insight, that are going to help you. Like you say, you're with some readers and they're doing posts for each other and helping each other. There's your success. I see them all being successful by staying true and in line with that function and those goals. So very cool stuff. Love it.
Awesome.
Now around this time in my show, my interview, I like to talk about willpower and inspiration, and we've just spoken a lot about those subjects in this show. So let's just bring this down a little bit. That willpower, I think we've pretty much covered that, the willpower part, but the inspiration, maybe there's some nuggets here still to discuss in terms of you've got that goal and, you know, it's, as you say, be patient. As you say, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. What can that person do to stay inspired to their own goal? Anything there that comes, you know, what can keep driving?
Let's go ahead. Let's be inspired by baby steps. Baby steps to me are taking smaller goals at a time to achieve a larger one. So let's say you're going to write a book. Well, write it. That is the first step, and then you've achieved that, and you can have the affirmation of that and feel the wonderful emotion that comes with achieving something. And then achieve the habit, be made into a better book by getting like-minded friends and maybe an editor and moving on. And then achieve to maybe publish that book one step at a time, depending on what your goal is. If you're going to sing, then maybe, you know, go out and get some lessons if you need it, or make a recording and then give it to someone, and then find like-minded people, share your stuff on YouTube. A lot of people are making a lot of headway on YouTube, by the way. That's an incredible marketing tool these days, but I digress. I'm inspired by the fact that I have people who have told me they love my writing, that I'm their favorite author, that they can't tell the difference between me and James Patterson. And that's nice. I mean, it's ear candy, and it's nice, but I don't care about that so much. But I'm very inspired that people like my work. I don't care to compare it with anyone. I don't care about that. Part of marketing is doing these things to get it noticed, but I really am inspired when somebody tells me, like I had a friend of mine, a woman that was going through some family emergency. It was intense, and she was at a hospital for several weeks, and I just emailed her all of my books, you know, of course for free, for her to read while she was there at night. And not only was she grateful, you know, I can almost cry when I remember, she's just very, very, very grateful, and she really did love the books, and that inspired me in ways to, I need to do this more. So my goal kind of shifted from being, you know, a good author or a best-selling author to someone that can achieve his goals through writing so that he can help people. So they go hand in hand. Again, baby steps is the best way. Take your praise wherever you can get it, feel it, enjoy it. You're allowed it. You earned it. and then go to the next step. Know, though, along the way, you're going to have somebody throw some mud on the wall. Just clean it off and go to the next one. You cannot please everybody, and you're not going to please everybody. And some people are going to deliberately malign you because they don't like you. And that's life. You just have to go forward. I think that just doing one step at a time and letting the reward of that step being taken care of is pretty much inspiring in itself. So whatever it is you're going to do, do it one step at a time. Once you reach it, bathe in it, go to the next one.
I love it. So simple, baby simple, and yet so effective. You're not going to get to the penthouse of the building by jumping up. So yes, you could take an elevator, but you still have to go through the first floor, the second floor, third floor, and so forth. So it comes one step at a time, one floor at a time, one section or action at a time. So that's very good on inspiring. Meanwhile, you're always staying focused to that goal, to that dream. Very good, Ron. Great points. Love them. Valuable information. Useful. Everyone can apply it. Anyone can apply it. Thank you so much for all of this.
I can't tell you how grateful I am for the opportunity to come on your show and shows like this. That's another thing. This is very rewarding in itself. I get to reach many, many folks with the message or with some positive information. Then maybe someone will walk away today to do something they weren't going to do tomorrow. Now they're going to do it. That's the purpose of everything, just to reach others so they can be happy.
Well, very cool. All right, well, we're close to wrapping up. We still have a little time left. Is there anything else that you'd like to go about? Let's see. People can get your books at ronstell.com. Is that correct?
Correct. I found out the other day that I'm a domain. So, yeah, you just put in ronstell.com, and it brings up a web page that was designed by my PR team and has all the books on it, has links to go directly to Amazon to get it either in hardcover or ebook. I do want to tell some folks this. Now, at this point in my career, I'm still doing this. If you buy a hardcover, soft cover of my book, and you want me to sign it, then you just send it to me, and you can email me from my site, and I'll answer your emails. I'll sign it with a personal message, and I'll send it back to you at my cost. I've done this for many, many, many folks, and I offer that to anyone who hears this show who would like to do that, any of the books, anytime. So I do like to do that. So if you like collecting signed books, then I'm your guy.
Oh, that's very, very cool of you. Very nice. Very awesome. Thank you for that. I truly hope a lot of people take advantage of that. So they'll go to ronstell.com. They'll get all the information about your book. What about your speaking? Is there any information about where you may go?
Yeah.
Do you do tours? Go ahead, please.
At the website for speaking engagements, you contact Brushwood Media. That's I have two different PRs. That's the one that does that, and they set it up for you. So that goes through my publishing agent, PR, as it were. They take care of that. So if you would like to have something for me to speak to your folks for any reason, happy to do that. It goes through the same place. Also, my Facebook page, I still post excerpts from what I'm writing now so people can become intrigued. And again, I'm totally approachable. If you want to talk to me, talk to me. Email me, message me, I'll talk to you. If you want some advice or anything, I'm always there for folks if they need help.
That's very cool. I don't know how you do it because that's a lot of communication. I'm getting overwhelmed sometimes. So hats off to you if you can stay up with it, keep up with it. Little minor joke. All right.
Try.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, anything else? Or did we cover all the points, everything you wanted to say here?
I think we did. I just hope that folks will take this opportunity to sit down and think about what it is they'd like to do, no matter what your age is. It's never too late. As long as you're breathing, you can go forward and do something spectacular. Paint a picture. Do something. It really changes your life. And I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, very cool. That's Ron Stell, everyone, who is the author of the latest book, Extreme Options, which is a Bryce Mallory mystery. Be prepared to laugh. Well, all right. Thank you very much, Ron. It's been wonderful. It's been a pleasure. And I love those 10 points. I can't wait to listen to the show again and write those points down. There are some gems there. I hope everyone does. And again, your website is ronstell.com, and Stell is STELLE, ronstell.com. Okay. Well, thank you very much again, everyone, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have best-selling author and speaker Esther Ledzinski, who teaches people how to grow their business by setting up 6 different business systems. She says this allows for a consistent growth, having effective employees, effective employers, making less mistakes, freeing up your time, and being able to sell your business for more profit. Esther shares with us how to grow our business and live a fulfilled life on the next episode of Revenue Chat. If you want to appear on Revenue Chat, it's easy. Details at tonyduruso.com/services. And please drop me a message. I'd love to hear from you. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.